Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to OTR News Bulletin. Welcome to On the Radar News Bulletin with me, David Shombe. It's 7 minutes past the hour of 1300 hours. It's the 6th of July, 2026. It's a beautiful Monday. And we are looking at issues that affect our bread and butter. OTR News Analysis is a platform that we give economic news. We give you up-to-date information, what is happening in terms of international stock exchange, what's happening in terms of the price of commodities, what is happening in terms of the price of oil, and also what needs to be done, particularly when it comes to issues of economic diplomacy, issues of trade and governance. So for now, let us look at our headlines for this afternoon. We are going to look at OPEC countries. It's stated that 7 OPEC producers have agreed to increase oil production from August, and signaling the improvement, particularly looking at the boost of oil production as Gulf export are recovering. It is stated that OPEC member countries agree on Sunday to raise oil production quotas by 188,000 barrels per day. That will effectively from August 2026. We'll be able to look at this news later, especially looking at what is happening. The second part, the president of Namibia has made her first international visit to China. The first international visit after she was inaugurated, apart from going outside the continent to United Nations. That is her first international visit. You need to look at the significance of this visit, particularly when it comes to economic diplomacy, and also when we are going to look at issues that are related to possibilities of strengthening the Namibia and China economic relation, cultural exchange, and also advancement in terms of technology, and indeed what will happen, especially when it comes to the assistance from China for Namibia to reach its developmental agenda. The third part, also related to China, we are looking at cultural relations. I will be joined by my colleague, that is Helen Inane, especially when she will be looking at the 1 week visit that she took, to China, especially to look at what are some of the cultural differences, what are some of structural economic reforms, especially in China, what lesson can we learn from this aspect, and also what are some of the new things, particularly in terms of development planning that she brought to us, particularly in terms of skills and knowledge. And yeah, from there, we'll look at the updates of World Cup. Where are we standing? Where the African teams are standing? Where is the world standing? Who is qualified to go to quarterfinal? Who is qualified to go to the next level in terms of World Cup? And we'll look at that update. And the other part, we'll be able to look also at the ongoing procession, especially what is known to be the funeral of the century when Ayatollah Ali Khamenei will be buried, and to look at what are the new developments, particularly in Iran, and also to look at the possibility of future peace, and what does this mean, especially to the Middle East, and what does it mean, especially when it comes to the global world at large. So let us look at a short commercial break. From there, we'll be able to start with our first news, then we continue. However, we'll also be able to give you an opportunity to engage us in the studio at 083-288-401-083-288-401, especially after the news analysis.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngeno wapubwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Kono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nene uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarude dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko mderewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with On The Radar News Bulletin. As I indicated, our headline for today, we look at OPEC countries boosting oil production as Gulf export recover. Let us look at this news and come back shortly.
By the middle, 7 key OPEC Plus producers have agreed to increase oil production by 188,000 barrels per day from August as Gulf exporters recover from months of disruption caused by the Middle East conflict. The decision was reached during a vital meeting on Sunday involving Saudi Arabia, Russia, Iraq, Kuwait, Kazakhstan, Algeria, and Oman. Oil production in several Gulf states fell sharply after shipping through the Strait of Hormuz was disrupted during the war. Since Iran and the United States signed the memorandum to restore maritime traffic in June, exports have gradually resumed and oil prices have eased. Analysts say production remained below OPEC Plus targets, but cautioned that full recovery will take time as oil fields and supply chains return to normal.
That is what is happening. Let us look at five most top mineral commodities in demand, particularly looking at the month of July, and in terms of international price. To say number one, you have gold, precious gold, that is standing at $4,157 per troy ounce. Then you also have industrial copper that is standing at $6.20 per pound. And you have lithium battery that is standing at $13,000 to $15,000 per metric ton. Then at number four, you have silver or industrial silver that is standing at $63.45 per troy ounce. And you have iron ore that is trading between $110 to $120 per dry metric ton. So let's look at the next headline, especially looking at Namibia and China relations. We understand that the president, for the first time having international visit, apart from continental visit that the president has been taking. I understand that for the first time visiting China as a president, especially looking at the issue of strengthening economic relations, economic diplomacy. And we understand that the president traveled with a bigger delegation, particularly looking at senior government officials, business people, and also those who want to extend and expand Namibia trade relation with China. Looking at trade statistic, we'll be able to understand that China is number one trading partner of Namibia, especially in terms of exportation and also in terms of import. You have China and South Africa. Namibia sell between 90 to 95% of its uranium to China. And China is one of number one import areas or import destination, particularly looking at the context of Namibia. However, my colleague Dwight Ring got into the conversation with Tulimbaba Simon, especially looking at an analysis of Namibia and China economic relations.
Good morning to the listeners.
Good morning. How has the relationship between Namibia and China developed over years?
Thank you, Tuli. So, Tuli, this obviously speaks to the recent visit that President Nandi Ndaitwa has had to China. The president is back already, just for the listeners to know. The relationship has started before our independence, but at independence it actually became formal. It's also a relationship, Tuli, specifically where you can see today there are various particular projects and basically cooperative or cooperation based initiatives taking place in Namibia. Mainly, primarily because we see it mostly in a Namibian context. As Namibians, so you greatly see things happening here than mostly what we might see on the other side of the world. Now, there's also been like a recent development, specifically the zero tariff introduction that China introduced back in end of May, start of June. But that's a trade relation or trade based initiative. I would say that the zero tariff is sort of like the ultimate culmination. However, there are also other trade related functions that China also dominates, specifically if we can talk now in commercial activity wise, the large uranium appetite, specifically for China's particular energy security. Obviously, there being three mines already being owned by Chinese corporations, predominantly employing Namibians, obviously on the ground. We also see specifically that these mines have got long mine lifespans or mining lifespans, which is reassuring in terms of the realm of tax collection, revenues to be collected by the government, salaries to be insured. But it also plays into a realm specifically of that the uranium is obviously being exported, and that's a dimension primarily that the broader African narrative has tried to focus on trying to process things locally. China is still Namibia's second largest exporting market outside of South Africa. So we're talking about outside of South Africa. So we're talking about the EU as a combined market and China. So the relations have primarily grown very well. They have developed very well if you look at it in terms of the positives. And obviously there's the aspiration in terms of how a country like Namibia can try and achieve the local development projects that China has done before or has committed to on their side in China. Namibia would like to also try and duplicate these same things, because that's the aim of bilateral relations. You sometimes try to grow stronger bonds between countries. If it's two countries, you try to see how you achieve a sort of like a shared prosperity endeavor. if you look at Namibia, South Africa, for example, the shared prosperity is there. South African companies employ a lot more Namibians.
Yes.
You have the initiative where, unfortunately, South Africa, we were a colony of South Africa. So South Africa has developed a lot of things or legacy infrastructure that we already have. But South Africa also dominated other particular aspects, for example, things that we could, that we are now trying to build back up from, for example, like agriculture. However, in the China-Namibia zero tariff discussion, Namibia has the opportunity to enter the Chinese market without any particular tariffs. So this means the opportunity for Namibian businesses, small, medium, large potentially, to enter into the Chinese market, trying to diversify their market access points across the world, primarily because this speaks to the Global South co-developmental agenda that was signed. It was actually endorsed by the UN, but back in 2024, the Forum for China-Africa Cooperation actually sort of like cemented that position.
In today's news bulletin, we heard that it highlighted that President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah visited his first international was to China. What is the significance of visiting this?
So, as always, what happens primarily when you look at like heads of state and their visits to counterparts, this is now any other president around the world, and it's not events, just president-to-president engagement. What we can see here, Tuli, is a dimension specifically of, obviously, let's first understand this. Namibia basically doesn't have any enemies in the international realm. Namibia's main policy is friend to all, enemies to no one. So in what you can see primarily from this dimension, Tuli, is a discussion that President Nandi-Ndaitwah obviously went to basically for the first time engage with President Xi. And then obviously, you know, have their discussions. I mean, the particular visit itself that culminated in China obviously saw the president meeting with President Xi. Now, the president, let me correct that. The president is obviously in a state visit to China from 5 to 11. So just correcting myself, the president is not back yet, guys. Just letting you know, just a correction on that note. The president is still in China specifically up until the 11th. Now, the aims, according to the presidency's media office, is primarily that President Nandi-Ndaitwah was there to strengthen comprehensive strategic cooperative partnership between Namibia and China, and that the visit also sees President Nandi-Ndaitwah specifically visit the State Council, visit the provincial and municipal leaders in Guangdong province, which includes the city of Guangzhou and the city of Shenzhen. So your question focused on what is the significance of this, specifically if you zone on these two particular cities, is that Shenzhen, Tuli, for that matter, is a manufacturing hub. However, many Chinese cities are already manufacturing hubs. For example, the city that I went to last year, the city of Nanchang. Nanchang has cultural, historical relevance alongside its province, Jiangxi, because that is where Mao Zedong basically cemented or started off the overall communist development in China, which leads to modern-day China as we see it. So there's a lot of cultural and historical relevance. Besides the strategic provincial partnership that the province of Jiangxi has with the Comas region, then we also see, for example, a city like Shanghai. Shanghai has got a lot of financial businesses and the likes centered, and other like tech development, technology development companies also based within it. Hong Kong is also part of China because of the British had to basically sign that agreement back in 1995, or was it 1997, to give Hong Kong back to the Chinese. But Shenzhen is just literally on the other side of the border wall of Hong Kong. And Shenzhen is a major manufacturing hub, for that matter. Guangdong obviously means, in terms of the particular kind of strategic importance that the city of Guangdong plays. However, China now is also on a major development, okay, I'll call it a development pathway, because it's a development pathway of looking at how to open up and show that China can be a tourist metropolitan destination for the modern day tourists. There are so many people going now from Europe, from North America, from Australia, from South Africa to China. Predominantly, when you look at us Africans are going to China for education and for certain particular strategic visits, like the one that I went to for the 5 days. So basically, it serves a specific purpose. So a lot of things are currently happening, but in line with what President Nhat Hanh Ditwa's visit basically aims to achieve, this is primarily just centered around strengthening Namibia-China relations.
China has lifted millions of people out of poverty, and China is one of the most fastest growing economies. What lesson can Namibia learn from China development experience?
What Namibia can learn in terms of upliftment, what I discovered also that side, Tuli, was literally that China also has local authorities and provincial authorities. We have to strengthen these particular platforms, local and provincial. So we've got regional and local. So we have to empower them. We have to practice decentralization to an extent, because the regional authorities have to play a more active role, like in Namibia, in terms of developing their regions, looking after their regions, like we say, procurement and all those things. They also have to achieve certain particular strategic targets in terms of Namibia's developmental agenda. Currently, if you look at things, Tuli, the image that the central government of Namibia gives to the average Namibian out there is that if they see a minister going to a green scheme in the north, or if they see a minister going to a cultural event in the south, or if they see a minister going to a tourist destination at the coast, or if they see a minister going to a particular community in the east of the Namibia, the Namibian on the ground thinks that the minister is in charge of everything. The unfortunate thing is there is a structure, a chain of command. There are various facets and functionaries of the government that play an active role in development. China knows this. China can mobilize these structures very quickly. We saw it. We heard about it specifically in the one village that the President Xi Jinping visited there in the province of Jiangxi. He showed up there the one day. The next year, the village was fully renovated, fully fixed up, because the people were living in homes that were deemed as unfit for human occupation. Now, when a structure, Tuli, is deemed as unfit for human occupation by, let's say, construction engineers, or by by contractors, this technically means anytime the roof can collapse or the walls can collapse, because the structure is so old and it has never been renovated, and the appearance has never been kept up over the times. And it was a wonderful story to hear. It obviously sounds like a fairy tale story, since when I was part of the Namibians that were showed this village, but it sounded like something that our regional authorities and our local authorities can do for the everyday Namibian. Now, I'm not speaking to a scenario of ignoring that money doesn't exist. Yes, money does exist. Budgets do exist. Budgets need to be done. But when you look at the fact, at the rate at which local authorities can help with rural development, and when you come to Namibia and you look at the scenario, okay, so why can't local authorities intervene on behalf of rural communities? Then you start asking the same particular questions. And I think specifically that's the first particular targeted approach we need to take. that's the particular approach that every Namibian potentially would like to see. Yet, it obviously depends on how the NDB6 and any other policies that are still active are interpreted by the government officials, government functionaries like regional authorities, and local and the lowest format of governance and development structures, that being the local authorities, how they translate the NDB6 overall. Because you can see it in China. They say one thing, they announce the policy, then the next step is just implementation. So we are missing just the connection between that.
Okay, that was great. What can you conclude on this headline?
We obviously have to see specifically what feedback the president will bring to the country after this particular visit. Yes, we are 3 million people. It sounds a bit weird to ask for feedback from the president, towards the rest of the country. But Namibians would like to know, okay, we know that Namibia and China have strong bilateral relations. We know that Namibia and China have now developed also decent trade relations as well, alongside the bilateral relations. The next particular thing is understanding what will the president take away from her visit in Guangdong and Shenzhen specifically, and what did the president primarily share and engage with President Xi on the other side in terms of their particular state, their level of engagement in that platform. So yeah, those would be some of the particular key things that I'd like to understand what she does there.
Thank you, Dwight, for your time.
100%. Thank you, Tuli.
Yeah, that was the conversation between Dwight Links and Tuli Mebava Simon, particularly looking at the interpretation of Namibia, China, economic diplomacy. What are some of the things that we can learn from China? What are some of the things that we must give to China too? And also, what are key structural reform that the president will learn, particularly when it comes to China? Looking at trade statistics, they stated that the trade between Namibia and China reached 14.79 billion during the first 4 months of 2026, the most recent period for which official figures have been published by the presidency. And also looking at that result, stated that China become one of the top trading partners of Namibia, looking at second to EU, South Africa, then you have China. So before we look at the conversation that I had with Eleni Inane, one of my colleagues who recently participated in an exchange program between Namibia and China, and has been in China for the whole week, will be engaging us, particularly looking at the aspect of cultural relation. Looking at foreign exchange rate, Namibian dollar per foreign currency, so we are standing the euro. 1 euro is equivalent to 19.07 Namibian dollars. Pound sterling standing at 22.29 Namibian dollars. US dollar is at 16.70 Namibian dollars. On the other side, foreign currency you need to pay Namibian dollar. Kwacha is at 13.27 Australian dollar, 0.085 Botswana and Pola, 0.75 Canadian dollar at 0.084. That is some of the current exchange rate that's happening, particularly for today, the 6th of July, 2026. Yeah, let us look at a short commercial break. From there, we'll look at the conversation with Eleni Inane. Then from there, I'll also be in connection, in communication with Elenga, especially to look at the trade relations. And what are some of the expectations that Namibia expect from the visit to China? And also, what are some of the practical solutions? What can we learn in terms of policy planning, policy implementation, and most importantly, what is needed? The most lacking is policy evaluation, to say what are the success of policy implementation, what are some of the challenges, what can be done differently, where are the numbers of progress in terms of Namibia development. So let us look at the short commercial break and come back shortly.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with On the Radar News Bulletin. Today we'll look at people-to-people exchange program, especially between Namibia and media professionals and also China. I'm joined by my colleague, that is Eleni Inane, to speak to us about the 1 week that she spent in China with work, and also what are some of the things that she brought to us, especially when we are speaking about Namibia in China relation. Eleni Inane, welcome back. Welcome back home. And you recently traveled to China for work.
Yes.
Maybe just to look into that, what was the significance of that exchange program, and what did you bring for us before you go to the content of the conversation?
The program is a people to people exchange program,
yeah,
which enables African personnel or African individuals to travel all the way to China, learn about their cultures, the history of their politics, and how they were able to, you know, bring China's economy from rags to riches.
Mm-hmm.
Because as of now, China is one of the best performing economies,
yeah,
in the world,
yeah,
and to see how they did it firsthand, to explore, to visit places, and to hear their story.
Mm.
And to compare that, to contrast to what is happening in Namibia. So that is one of the reasons why they do the people-to-people exchange,
yeah,
to give you an insight on where they won,
yeah,
where they went wrong,
yeah,
and what they learned from those particular circumstances, and how they came back stronger. Because obviously if you fail today, you need to bounce back and become better at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, looking at that, I think your traveling is very significant, particularly looking also at where the president is at now. It means that you are clearing the ground for the main diplomats to get there. But it's a good thing that you brought the aspect of what went wrong, how did they move so fast. They are number two in the world currently, and
yes,
they are definitely overtaking USA, maybe tomorrow, maybe next year. Now, there is one thing that people always see when you travel to a different continent. You went to the other side of Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you travel to another part of the world, especially to Asia, there are always new things that you observe. From that point, what are key things that you have observed that you think really that this one worth bringing it home, either in terms of knowledge or in terms of the way people do things?
Firstly, I would like to start with their structural policies.
Okay.
And their plans.
Okay.
Their plans are long term.
Yeah.
And what I observed from their term, from their plans, is that they have what they call a 15-year plan, economic plan for their economy.
Yeah.
And that plan is subdivided into 5-year plans.
Okay.
Just like we have here for our political terms or our political head of state.
Yeah.
Their terms also last 5 years long.
Yeah.
But the difference between their strategic planning and how things are done here is that they have a central committee that the government reports to.
Yeah.
And this particular central committee ensures that even when a president transitions and you have a new president,
yeah,
you have new leadership, the same mandate is followed. There is no these things of, because tomorrow David is president, David is coming with his own mandate, David wants to focus on the fishing sector, and so forth, and when it's finally time for Hileni to come on board, Hileni wants to focus on the creative industry,
yeah,
and such. And this is why we have a lot of incomplete projects, especially in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
We have a goal as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
There is a goal.
Mm-hmm.
There is somewhere where we want to get,
yeah,
but we cannot get there because at every intersection, at every new government inauguration comes a new plan. What did we have back in, what did we have back in the 90s, back in the 2000s?
Yeah.
We had, the Vision 2030 that Sam initially started.
Yeah.
After that, we had the mass housing, and then there are plans,
MDPs.
Harambe plan, 1 and 2, and then now we are sitting with one that I like to refer as the nameless one, aka the MDP 6 plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, if you look at all those plans,
yeah,
and all those transitions, it was not continuous. It's not something where one leader comes and pick up where the previous leader left off. Everyone is starting their mini projects. Everyone has their hands in different jars. And of course, if I put 10 plates in front of you right now,
yeah,
and give you 5 minutes to finish all the food,
yeah,
if you decide to try all the food, all of the 10 plates will be half eaten by the time you are ready, by the time your 5 minutes are over and you are ready to go.
Yeah.
So in that essence, there is no continuity.
Mm.
In that essence, there is minimal accountability. Because if you start a project today,
yeah,
and your term ends today,
yeah,
there is no one that is coming to answer for that project.
Mm.
The next person just takes their project, also desert it halfway, and then the next government and so forth. And it becomes a repetitive cycle. And there, the infrastructure is planned in advance.
Okay.
Where there are places we visited whereby there is, it's called an urban and rural planning center.
Okay.
And in that urban and rural planning center, you can see that they even have visions already for the type of building that you have to put up. And I asked them the question of, it's a really well-built city.
Yeah.
Well, the provinces that we visited so far are really well-built and they are well-structured.
Mm.
And you can see, Nim, these buildings were built with a plan. It's not those things.
I hear where you are coming from. Okay.
It's not those things where we see one building is short, the other one is this material, the other one is this material.
Yeah.
So I asked them the question of, how do they then balance between...
Do you need toiletries and household cleaners? You won't get it cheaper than a You Save up to the 7th of June. Get 250 mm jars of Vaseline for only $25. Smell fresh with Playboy roll-on deodorant for just $18.99. Get 2 kg of Surf hand washing powder for just $49.99. Get 750 mm Sunlight dishwashing liquid for $28.99. And get 2 boxes of Cares Maxi sanitary pads for only $12.99. You Save. Where else?
I asked them the question of, how do they then balance between the private entities,
yeah,
and the
public,
in upholding the standards of what they are planning for the town as a whole?
Mm-hmm.
And their answer was that, even when private entities have to put up infrastructure. Mm. They have to consult with the government first and foremost,
yeah.
and they have to make sure that they meet the requirements mm. that the government sets gives to them to say, if you are going to build city center,
yeah.
the land belongs to the government, and even if you are purchasing it, we are going to give you this land,
yeah.
and the terms and conditions are that this is the type of precast that you have to use, this is the type of bricks that you have to use, this is the type of layout that you need to use, this is the height it needs to go to, because now you cannot, like for instance, there's an area around the Oriental Tower where their longest tower is, now I'm speaking under correction because I might have forgotten the exact meters.
Yeah.
It's around 600 and something meters tall.
Okay, okay.
And that's the tallest in China and yeah. the third tallest in the whole world.
Yeah, yeah.
So, if you are building in such an area, you cannot go build your one story. So they have a lot of rules in places
mm-hmm.
and they are determined to achieve those rules. Mm-hmm. I think the one thing I took away from them is that the respect for structure.
Okay. Yeah,
they
okay.
follow rules. If you say we are going left, everyone is on the left. There is no one trying to see what is happening on the right. They are not curious enough to see what will happen if I decide to go right.
Yeah.
So it just shows us that it is possible, even for a Namibian economy,
mm.
it is possible.
Mm.
It's just a matter of, changing and amending our laws and reforms
yeah.
to make sure that accountability
mm-hmm.
is given to certain people to hold the government accountable. Mm-hmm. And this is what I'm emphasizing on to say the Central Committee I mentioned
yeah.
is not necessarily a government entity.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's under the political party. Yeah. It lies somewhere under the political party that is governing.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a body that compromises of industry experts,
mm-hmm.
people who knows what they are doing,
mm-hmm.
people who know science, people who know agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
It's not political appointees that consist of that committee.
It's experts.
It's experts, people that studied to be the
mm-hmm.
experts in the mining industry, experts in infrastructure industry, and they then come together and look at society, look at the problems that are being faced, and then they tell the government,
mm-hmm.
A, B, C, and D needs to be solved. So you go solve it and then you report back to us that you have solved it.
Mm.
Or the government brings issues to them to say, we have identified these particular issues in our communities.
Yeah.
And they, that is the committee, they study the issue. They see whether it's relevant enough. They see the magnitude or how the magnitude of its impact on the people.
Yeah.
Because their motto is people first. They put their people first. So they see the impact it has on the people. And after that, they go back to the government and say, we revised what you pitched to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we are giving you this amount of time to fulfill that promise to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And after that specific time, you have to come back and report back to us that you are done, because we need to move on to the next project.
it's quite a very good thing, especially when you mention about structure and system. I think maybe that is one thing that we can learn. Now, apart from that, I want to get one thing about cultural relations. There are always things that are happening here in Namibia, maybe also find them in China, and there are also things that are quite different, particularly when it comes to human and cultural relations. Maybe from you, what are some of the similarities that you found? Are we behaving the same here in Namibia, or what are some of these cultural relations, either similarities or difference, especially in China?
The one similarity I picked up is that just like Namibians,
mm.
they are very hospitable people.
Okay.
That is the one thing I always tell people. Namibians mm. are very friendly.
Yeah.
Namibians are hospitable.
Mm.
Namibians, you will not feel like you are left out. When you come to Namibia,
yeah.
you don't feel like a foreigner, because people here are so receptive of
yeah.
you, and they are very welcoming and friendly.
Yeah.
That is the same thing they have that side.
Mm-hmm.
Culturally,
mm-hmm.
I would like to believe the education and the cultural influence mm-hmm. put on them mm-hmm. is a bit different from our cultural aspect of things mm-hmm. because our cultural aspect of things is not like enforced unto us. Mm-hmm. It's not mandatory for us to become a certain way. Mm-hmm. It's not mandatory for you to learn how to do something at a certain age. Mm-hmm. It's not mandatory for you to turn out a certain way in life. Mm-hmm. And there's from when they are little, mm-hmm. they are being groomed to become certain. They are being groomed to be a certain way. They are being groomed to follow rules. They are being groomed to fear failure. Uh-huh. Already from, the person is like, come thunder, come fire,
yeah.
I cannot afford to fail.
So culture is integrated into their education.
Culture is integrated into their education. Uh-huh. And things such as understanding the economy, mm-hmm. things such as understanding the economy is also integrated into their system mm-hmm. because they spoke about from the get-go,
yeah.
they teach the learners in school so that they can understand the administrative of the country, the administration of the country mm-hmm. so that they can contribute to it. Mm-hmm. They have platforms where you can find everything at once. So you scan your ID and everything of yours shows up. Mm-hmm. Your birth certificate, ID, everything. It's set up in a way that everything is at one space. And culturally also, we visited a few places.
Okay.
And I have realized that they stick to their culture.
Mm-hmm.
They are preserving their culture.
Mm-hmm.
They are still doing a lot of performances at operas, which are culturally rich.
Okay.
And with Namibia,
mm-hmm.
culture is like that thing you see once in a while. You know, when we are opening parliament and then we bring a cultural group there, they do what they need to do. Mm-hmm. But it's not something to say that is performed on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was intrigued and wowed to see that
mm-hmm.
your job is just to be a performer.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is just to perform
mm.
your cultural work. Like literally your job is just to learn how to dance your Oshiwambo dances,
yeah.
perform them for the people.
Then become an expert in that.
Become an expert in that. And also you are earning from that.
You try it in Namibia, then we'll see.
I know.
Okay. Now just, we have 4 minutes. Let us look at, one, two things you already mentioned about structure and system,
yes.
but I also want to get one lesson from you to say, in your view, what do you think enable China to develop its economy and also to, China took a lot of people out of poverty. You look at the records, say China was just like Namibia at some point, but
yes.
took a lot. Do you think, is it system, is it culture, or is it leadership? What one thing that, from your experience, when you look at it, really assisted China to be where it is now?
It's leadership.
Yeah.
And having leaders that are capable enough to uphold and implement what the plans they have for their nation.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, the one thing I learned from there is that when they started to plan their economic things,
yeah.
when they started to want to go into the world and put themselves on an on a global level,
yeah.
the first thing they did was they empowered their accountants.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds very simple, but they empowered their accountants
yeah.
so much so that they're always evolving mm-hmm. because these are the people that are safeguarding the money of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people that have to see through the frauds that comes with investments.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people that have, it's money after all, and with money, they really, really empower their auditors, their accountants, their finance department was empowered so much so that they could see red from far.
You cannot, you know, lose money.
Yeah, losing money was not part of it. And secondly,
yeah.
the like I said from the beginning,
mm.
the aim is to get everyone out of poverty.
Yeah.
So they came up with units. There are places we saw.
Mm.
Later when we have a chance, I'll show you.
Okay.
the are places we saw.
Yeah.
It's units built for low income employees,
mm.
your security guards, your cleaners, your what, you see, like, this flat we have in City Center Nim, they built such big units, and then there's like the ones with a one bed, two bed, and so forth, and they are very affordable. I like to think when I was listening to the prices, because we were asking questions, and we're okay, so how much is this one? And you're being told, no, this is 1,500.
And it's luxury.
And it's luxury. There's a washing machine for you. Everything is there for you. It's a luxurious place. Small in size, yes, but if you go home alone after this long day, it's good enough for you. There's a stove, there's a fridge, there's a washing machine, there's water, there's electricity, there's everything, there's a community gym. So they pay such amounts so that their people live well. And their understanding is that when their community is living well, when they are not stressed, then they perform better for the upliftment of their productivity.
So they prioritize happiness.
Yes, yes, you can say that.
Okay.
And speaking about the happiness, even the person that took us on the tour for the apartments, because it's a very, very large space.
Yeah.
The person was happy to be doing their job. It's happiness, and it's like, when we are happy, we are more productive.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay, one last thing. What did you bring for us in terms of skill and maybe even knowledge to somebody who is listening to say, this is what we should invest more into, especially Namibians, to say, if you want to be like other countries, we're always comparing ourselves with China, but what is one thing that you can do, is think that it will not be right if you don't mention it to the public, that you learn from there, that we can also get one or two?
Actual practical skills that speak to the realities of our Namibian people. So there's a concept of acquiring skills, but the most important question that I believe Namibians should ask themselves when they are acquiring skills is that, do these particular skills speak to the realities of Namibia?
Helen Inane, thank you very much, and thank you for input.
Bye, donkey.
Yeah, that was my colleague, Helen Inane, particularly after traveling to China for a week and looking at what are some of the new development. One of the things that you can take from her presentation is the aspect of practical implementation, and also the respect of technocrats to say China, country with a population which equivalent to Africa. It's run by a very small central committee. That central committee is not about Kenya deployment, but it's about people that are there who know exactly what they are doing. She also spoke about long-term planning. It's not only about strategic planning in terms of strategy, but strategic planning in terms of seeing and knowing, and also counting where you are going, indicating that the plan is always long, but is divided into sub-plans that are evaluated, are looked at, and also the aspect of integrating culture and education. If you don't want to lose people, make sure that they do not lose their culture. So let's look at the short commercial break. Then we'll look at World Cup updates and also what are we facing, particularly looking at progress. Understand that mid-July, World Cup will come to an end and the best team will go with a trophy. We'll see who is going to be the top goal scorer. Is it Lionel Messi? Is it Haaland? Is it Mbappe? Or who is going to be like that? There is a contestation in terms of horse racing. But let us look at the short commercial break and come back shortly.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of
Eish! Data dango dapwa konale, mola shko mafkweja tato filu nale.
Deke shio shiviko osho ashikenga ho. Menovi, wiki tolundu lukile kono mola yo parates anola etatu natu.
Parates nola etatu natu.
Goa longi fedola de Namibia mirongo nena na nadike.
O
uno mali ya fifu elongi folo kudenga kwa WhatsApp ha? Pia no manga beko tope osha alishe giga nano do TikTok, Instagram, Facebook osho yona tango o giga ingwe ya keshe shimwe ule oshivika shishe
o halo kolomga na ngekucha edolo milongo ni nana nomo inimaisho ya topopi
edola dena mibio milongo ni nana no upuwa ngaho kape na walino kuli vachota na noveta ngeungo tolo ngifonumola ya peretes nola etatu natu
Lundulu kila kono ala yo peratus nola itatu natu. Netolimo nene o wawe longifo lo socializer 7-day unlimited. Tolongifa o WhatsApp kwa weda e gigabytes dili hamano ke dolashke dana mebia o milongo ni nanano molo o mafweja heali. O nayo o wawo kudenga no kuchetinga kwa WhatsApp kwa weda natangwe gigabytes a dili nano do malungula o shoyo o gigabytes a imwai ke ye data e fimbokeshe. Taihangwa pene lo doto dulokulipe akulo ve mwene ko peratus app. Airtime city kiosk o show your profit love operators. Be the engager and power your next social moment all week. E mangono malandula fano o do dino kulandulwa. Always pretend.
E filoshisho o tali kulandula kona vewa yuk. E kwashili pale kolo maruendo paiwano kupitila mo NHP. O atupa teleko mesho kwashili pale kolo afika mafio pe dola e miliona omlongo da Namibia. Moshi yoshe tukeshe kuyanja o makwafo unamiti e nashane filo shisholo pa ulumo mumbu. Kwa avoveli ponje yoshilongo, shijoshi topo rwasho ijo yetu, tashiningwa inapawe danando ishoshe layash. Opo umone ya kulolo polis mwule o minute dishona elela, lishangifako nhp.com.na o manga ino ya moruendo. Ponjeo shilongo. E mangono malandula fano o dodino kulandurwa. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Yeah, it's 2 minutes past the hour of two. And we'll be able to give the mic to Ongudana Dingi, but just to look at the World Cup update, fast, round of 32, Saturday, Argentinian Cup, Cape Verde was beaten 2-0 to 3, Colombia beat Ghana 1-0, Canada was defeated 3-0 by Morocco, Paraguay, the round of 16, was defeated 1-0 by France, Brazil was sent home, the round of 16 by Norway. And also to look at World Cup top goal score. You have a three-horse race. That is Lionel Messi with 7 goals. Erling Haaland with 7 goals. Kylian Mbappe with 7 goals. That means that for now there is no a definite answer. Who is the top goal scorer? We have three-horse race. And at number 4, you have Harry Kane from England with 6 goals. We have Ousmane Dembele with 4 goals. And also Mikel Yazabla. That is from Spain with 4 goals. That is an indication to say when it comes to top goal score, who is going to get the top goal score of World Cup. You still have, three-horse race. And this maybe is going to be the World Cup with many goals, especially when it comes to contestation. Let's see how things are going to turn out. So from me, David Shombe, bye-bye. See you around. Sharp.